So let me start by just saying welcome to New Sharon Assembly of God. My name is Pastor Mike, and it is my honor to bring you the Word of God this morning. And you hear me say that all the time, but I mean it. Like, I don't want it just to become lip service. I am glad that you joined us today. I'm glad that you're here. And by the way, if you're a member or if you're a new visitor here today, I've failed to do this last couple weeks, so let's just go ahead and take a minute here. If you are a visitor with us today, I would ask that you fill out this connection card in the seat in front of you. Fill it out with your name, email, phone number, and at the end of service, you'll take it out the doors to the Connection Center where we have a free gift for you, Come As You Are t-shirt. And then on Monday, when I am in the office, I will send you an email with a list of local nonprofits that you will be able to choose for a gift to be made in your family's name. So there's that. Thank you for sticking with me through that. Well, guys, we're in week five of our Galatians sermon series, and we have covered many topics. We have covered from the awareness of false teachers that place obstacles in our path, right? Prevent us or put new things on us to be able to walk in a relationship with Jesus. We talked about faith in Jesus alone brings salvation. The man on the cross next to Jesus, he didn't have any works, did he? He had faith. And so if you were on Facebook this morning, you maybe saw I shared a video. I would encourage you to just watch it. It has to do with the man on the cross next to Jesus. It's a great movie. But he had faith. Faith alone brings us salvation. And after that, we talked about God's promises. Does God ever fail to fulfill his promise? Never, right? Has never failed. And then we followed that with the promise of eternal hope. If we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, we all have eternal hope. And that eternal hope is in heaven, in glory with him someday. And finally, last week, we looked at how God adopts us. Right? That's where the whose we are. We are God's children, and who we are. I am a child of God. Two very important distinctions that you need to know in your life as a Christian. How God adopts us and the benefits that we gain by being in a relationship, by being a child of God. Today we look at what it means to... But you can't guess my sermon this morning. Today, it's we look at what it means to walk by the Spirit, to be led by God's Spirit. What we must take away from this is the takeaway for all of us. What I hope for all of us to take away at the end of service today is the importance of daily choosing to walk in step with God's Spirit. Without fail, we fall short, right? Without it, we fall short. Without it, we walk in sinful flesh. So I'm curious this morning, who here has ever put together a Lego set? Can you start on step 50 and still get the result at step 100? Not possible, right? What if I skip step 52? Does it work? It's not possible. And the reason for this, because to be able to successfully build what is on the box, they always send the box with a really fancy picture. They say, oh, this is a set of 1,200 pieces. And then you open up the book and it's 135 steps to get there. To get what's on the box, to successfully build it, you have to what? We have to follow directions. We have to follow instructions, right? You have to follow it step by step. Without missing a page, without missing us, one little itty-bitty piece can throw off the whole build. Caden's got this, if you're Star Wars fans, he has an AT-AT, and that's one of the two-legged walking robots in Star Wars. If you're not a Star Wars fan, I'm sorry, you have no idea what I'm talking about. But it's yay tall. Yeah, it's pretty tall. But I remember when he was building it, there was one piece that he missed, and he was getting so frustrated. I didn't ask you permission, I'm sorry. But he was getting frustrated about the build because it wasn't going together the way it should. What did we have to do? You had the piece. We were missing a piece in the build. So we had to go back in the directions and look to find what single piece we were missing to be able to complete the build. So it's very important that we follow instructions piece by piece, page by page. Otherwise, we are unable to continue building. We will never have the final outcome of what is on the box. And if we follow instructions, we know we'll get to it, right? So we all just open up the Lego instructions and we have trust. We have faith that those instructions are going to lead us to where they're supposed to get us, right? Does anyone doubt the instructions on a Lego build? Now, we have an Erector set that was like second build. I don't know where it came from, but Alicia went online, looked at instructions, and they were different than the instructions in the book, and she just figured it out and cobbled it together and made it. It's like one of those old Steeltech builds where you have to put the little nuts and bolts, and I can promise you it was built once and once alone, and it's never been played with since that I know of. But anyways, we have to trust the instructions to get to where we're going, and that's to the final product. And as we follow along, what happens? We eventually arrive to the end, and the result is that the item that we are building perfectly matches the picture on the box. If it doesn't, you've missed a page or you've missed a step, right? So you may not know how to walk in the Spirit. You may not know what that looks like or what it even means. But just like following Lego instructions, we have to follow the Spirit's leading. We have to walk by the Spirit. You can't skip ahead to the final product. It's not possible. You have to be in step with the Spirit. You have to obey the Spirit, trusting that He has the best intention for you. He knows the best path, the best direction to go, the best pieces to put into play. We were talking this morning in Sunday school. Dave asked the question, how do you suppose God spoke to Moses in these times when he was saying to be calm? He spoke by the Spirit. And the Spirit leads us. And if we don't listen to the Spirit, are we going to go to where the Spirit wants us to go? If you look at a map, Israel could have taken a direct highway to the Promised Land, right? The Spirit led them somewhere else. Doesn't always have to make sense, but the end result is that God's name was glorified. And that's the point. So we have to trust that the Spirit has the best intention for us and that the end result will be one where we reflect Jesus Christ. Our sticky statement this morning is when we walk in the Spirit, people will see Jesus. If you have your Bible with this morning, and I hope you or someone around you does that you can look on with, I would invite you to open, you should already know what book we're in, Galatians chapter 5. And this morning we're going to find ourselves through verses 16 through 18. And I will encourage you to keep your thumb there because we're going to make a couple of references back to this section of Scripture. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. It says this, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." We'll come back to the rest of it. Seems like a weird spot to stop, but it's not. When I was preparing for this, the words "walk by the Spirit" just seemingly jumped off the page at me as I was praying and seeking God for what direction we were going today. And if you've been reading ahead, you may have assumed that I was going to talk about Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. For freedom, Christ has what? Set us free, right? What a powerful thing to teach on. But as I was reading it, "walk by the Spirit" leapt off the page at me. And I firmly believe that this is where God has led us today, what He wants to talk to us about. And so I looked up the original word, the word "walk," what that phrase "walk by the Spirit" means in the original language. Now, I'm not a Bible scholar, okay? If you want to be like me and not be a Bible scholar, you can go to blueletterbible.com and you can look at every, it's an online concordance. So it's going to give you all the commentaries. It's going to give you the Greek and the Hebrew. It's going to define the words. It's got the Bible dictionary, everything. All the resources you need to know that you're preaching the Word of God. Amen? Or learning the Word of God, rather. So go check up on me. Make sure I did my homework right. BlueLetterBible.com. Okay? The word walk here, this phrase, walk by the Spirit, in the original language, it can mean one of three things. To make one's way, to regulate one's life, or to conduct oneself. Is what Paul is doing here, as he is telling the Galatians to conduct themselves like Jesus. To allow the Holy Spirit to transform them and lead them in their daily life. That if they, the Galatians, that if we, New Sharon Assembly, submit to the Holy Spirit's leading, all of us will be able to abstain from the desires of the flesh. What are the desires of the flesh? Sin. So we will be able to abstain from sin. And if we're walking in the Spirit, or as Paul commands the church, walk by the Spirit, which I want you to know is one and the same thing, we will not be gratifying the desires of the flesh. The converse of that is true. If we are not walking in the Spirit, then what are we walking in? We're walking in the flesh, and I just lost everything on my computer there. The computer still on? Okay. Sorry, technical difficulty. If we are not walking in the Spirit, we are walking in the flesh. And this is what we see the production of that in verses 19 through 21. So look at your Bibles again. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By nature, we walk in the flesh. We don't just randomly or automatically walk in the Spirit because we believe in Jesus, right? Just because that doesn't mean that we just automatically, it just comes natural. We have to be intentional about it, right? We have to be intentional because inherently, what do we desire? To do evil. Our flesh desires to do evil, not good. And I can back this up with Scripture. Paul says in Romans chapter 7, verse 18, he says, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out." We may have the best intentions, but we are unable to implement those intentions. We're unable to carry it out. We may mean the best, we may strive for the best, but we will all fail unless we are walking in the Spirit, unless we are walking by the Spirit. Scripture further tells us in 1 John verses 2 or chapter 2 verse 6, "Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked." Isn't it great that your computer tries to do a software update right in the middle of the sermon? Just most fantastic. We'll see what happens here. Let's just fix it. So is what 1 John 2, 6, let me read it again. Hang tight with me, guys. I promise the word is good. 1 John 2, 6. "Whoever says he abides in me ought to walk in the same way in which he walked." Who is he referring to? Jesus. So let's say it in Lindernese. We should live daily the way Jesus lived, right? When we walk in the Spirit, people will see Jesus. I want to share with you this morning three ways. If you're taking notes, feel free to write these down. I want to share three ways with you on how we can make sure that we are walking in the Spirit. As I said earlier, it doesn't happen automatically. It doesn't happen without effort. It takes intentionality on our part to get to where we are walking in the Spirit. Here's the three things. You must commit to prayer. How can you ever walk with the Spirit if you never pray? How can you expect to hear from the Spirit of God if you never pray? Let me ask you this way. How can you ever get to know somebody if you've never talked to them? If you never spend time with them, how do you get to know them? Now, church, listen, this isn't about spiritual discipline. This isn't about an exercise that you need to practice. It's your lifeline. Prayer is your lifeline to God. You could even include worship along with prayer because it's how we get into God's presence. Without prayer, growth is not possible. Without prayer, growth is not possible. If we continue reading on, and we will before the end of service, but if you jumped ahead and you read the rest of it, we don't gain the spiritual fruits because we did A, B, C. We didn't do a checklist, right? You don't get it. We don't get the fruits of the Spirit because we followed the checklist. We gain them by growing in our relationship with God the Father. And there seems to be a correlation between time spent with God and struggles. If you're struggling with sin in your life, I would like to submit to you today that there's potentially an absence or lack of prayer, a lack of time spent with God. So if you're thinking right now, boy, I'm struggling with such and such, or these words come out of my mouth, or these actions, or this, that, or the other, and I can't shake them. Have you ever been, I used to be this guy, if I just pray harder, if I just pray more fervently about this and ask for forgiveness 100 times instead of 10 times, God will forgive me and I'll gain freedom. What actually happens is when you submit that item in prayer, meaningful prayer, not just I'm checking this off my list, but God, I don't have a way. I can't take care of this on my own. And we actually give it to Him in prayer. I can attest that struggle goes away. That sin that you're dealing with goes away. I know there's others in here that can testify to the same thing. When we spend time in prayer, it allows and it makes room for the Holy Spirit to work in us. The Holy Spirit empowers us to overcome our struggles. See, we don't have to fight this fight alone. We have the Spirit with us who can come alongside us and help us overcome. But we first have to be able to give it to God in prayer to see that come about. He helps get rid of our bad fruit in our life, and He produces what? Good fruit. When we walk in the Spirit, people will see Jesus. The second thing I want to submit to you today, we must commit to the Word of God. Now, I have this in my notes. Guess what? This is when I shamelessly plug our 5-day-a-week Bible reading plan. We have 7 weeks left of our 52-week Bible reading plan. No worries, I already have another reading plan lined up. I'll hand it out on January 1st. But if we're not in the Word of God, how do we know what the Word of God says? Can you rely on me once a week to bring you the Word of God? I certainly hope so. But that's not necessarily the case. Do you know you need the Word of God more than one day a week? You may not even read the Word of God when you're here on Sunday. You're just listening to it. Do you need to read the Word of God? The answer to that question is undoubtedly yes. Of course, we need the Word of God. So if you're not doing our five-day Bible reading plan, we have them printed on the back black table back there. Grab it at the end of service and join us. We are starting week 46 tomorrow, and I would just encourage you, when's the best time to start a new habit? Today. Not tomorrow, because will we start that tomorrow? Most likely not. This isn't a New Year's sermon, I promise. So this is your chance to practice getting into the Word. And most people don't realize that this is a part of our spiritual walk. This isn't another spiritual discipline or exercise that we do because we're good Christians. We obey. We have to read X amount of chapters every... That's nothing to do with it. It has everything to do with the end result. And what is that? It's a relationship with Jesus God, Jesus Christ, and God the Father. This brings us closer to God. How do we learn how to live? Can I live a Christian life without ever opening my Bible? Probably be pretty tough, wouldn't it? So, if we want to live the way that God wants us to live, we need to open our Word. The Word of God gives us instruction on how to live. And then what happens? The Spirit of God gives you the power to do it. If you find, I'm not going to use examples, I was going to, but hey, we have kids in here. If you struggle with something and you can't overcome it, but you know what's wrong because you've read it in Scripture, this is when we put it up to God in prayer and the Holy Spirit comes alongside us and He helps us overcome that obstacle. I love the whole obstacle thing. It's Satan's job to keep you from gaining access to heaven. It's your job to fight, and it's the Holy Spirit's job to kick these obstacles out of the way, to clear the path for you to get there. But it takes effort. Is it easy to pray? Sometimes not. One, maybe you don't know what to pray. Two, maybe you're angry towards God. I've been in that spot. It's still okay to pray. Maybe we don't have time in our schedule to open our Bible. I would encourage you, find time. Find time to get in this. The Spirit of God and the Word of God work in cooperation with each other. They are not competitors, but rather you need to view them as teammates who help you move toward being the person that God wants you to be. In fact, King David, he says in Psalms 119, verse 11, I have stored up your word in my heart. Does anyone know it? I am so proud of everybody. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Sounds like there's a correlation here to being in the Word of God and sinning, right? Reading and storing God's Word in our hearts, in our minds, and in our lives will keep us from sinning. And it sounds like an agreement to me, the Spirit and the Word of God joining together to help us walk in the Spirit. You don't have to walk in the Spirit on your own. You just put these things into practice and the Spirit comes along and He helps you walk in the Spirit. When we hide God's Word in our hearts, it's His Word that teaches us how to live. It's not because we read it, it's because God's Word is alive, and when we read it, it goes into our heart and it starts to change us, it transforms us, and it makes us more into the image of who God desires each one of us to be. Then God gives us the Holy Spirit. And when we walk in cooperation, He gives us the strength, and He gives us the ability to live out the Word of God. When you commit to the Word, the Holy Spirit wants you. He wants to help you do what God wants you to do. Can anyone here do what God wants them to do on their own strength, their own ability? Rhetorical question. I'm glad to see no hands are raised. We have no power to do and be who God wants us to be without the power of the Holy Spirit. When we walk in the Spirit, people will see Jesus. Our third and final this morning. You must commit to obedience. Sounds really tough, doesn't it? Without obedience, it doesn't matter how much you pray. It doesn't matter how much you're in the Word of God. If I don't put into practice the things that I hear, the things that I read, the things that I believe the Spirit is leading me in, If I don't put it into practice, if I don't do it, what am I doing? I'm simply doing nice things. I'm practicing exercises. Who here exercises, by the way, every morning? Who exercises? I don't do it every morning. I do it 3 times a week with Tim when we decide it's worth getting up early and going to the gym. If, when I work out and I go home and I eat a birthday cake for breakfast, what have I just done? I've never done that, by the way. I'm not a real big sweets guy, but it's opposite, right? It's contrary to what I'm trying to do. And so if I pray, but I don't mean a single word that I say, if I read and I don't let it into my heart, and then I don't put any of it into practice, the Bible tells us to love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and to do what? To love our neighbor the same? If I don't love my neighbor, am I putting the Word of God into practice? No. And so if I don't put it into practice, all I've done is turn this into a spiritual exercise. I just want to start this really good habit in 2023 that I read the Word of God 5 days a week, but I don't want it to be. I don't want it to change me. I want to remain who I am. Have you ever heard anyone say that, by the way? Atheists. They would tell you they'll read the Word of God to find all the fallacies in God's Word. And by the way, if you wanna hear Lee Strobel, The Case for Christ, you wanna read that is an atheist who was an investigative journalist who wanted to prove that God was not real, has become one of the most powerful testimonies that God is real. Okay? So if you ever want to know, is God real? Well, first read your Bible, second read A Case for Christ by Lee Strobel. I'm sorry, that's way off my notes. So if we read, if we pray, and we don't put into actions, we've simply turned them into nice things to do. And what we're actually doing is we're simply deceiving ourselves. If you read but don't allow the Word of God to change you, you are deceiving yourself. Did you know that's in the Bible? James chapter 1, verse 22, it says, "Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." The good part of this, when we walk in the Spirit, He gives us the desire to obey. Because we can't do it on our own power, can we? To do what is right and good, He gives us that power. He produces good fruit in our life. The Spirit forms in us a heart that grows to love God more. The more you love God, now hang with me here for a minute, because this might be contrary for some of you or hard to hear. The more you love God, the more you want to obey Him. Let me expound upon that. Think of it this way. The more you love your spouse, the more kids you love your parents, adults, the more you love your kids, the more you want to do for them, because you want to see them happy. How many here as new parents said, I want to do better than what my parents did for my kids? I think every ignorant child has ever said that about, you don't know until you have kids, guys. It's a little bit harder to do that. But guys, I don't want to downplay. I'm not trying to downplay our relationship with God to just us making God happy, because that's not what it's about. What I'm trying to do, I'm trying to isolate the urge that we have to please others. The urge that we have to see people happy. It's that desire, it's that willingness to want to do something to see this happen. It's our desire. And when we're walking in the Spirit, you will not only read the Bible, the Spirit will help you do what it says, and therefore, gradually what happens is that relationship develops and we love God more because we see how He's helping us along the way. Has God ever helped you before? Right? When God walks with us, it's a lot easier to walk through it. God has given us the Holy Spirit. One of the purposes is to help us. He helps us pray, which gives us strength. He will help us to read the Word, which shows us how to live our lives. Finally, He will help us to obey what God desires for us to do. Church, it's no small thing to say this today. Walking by the Spirit impacts every aspect of your life. Once you walk out of these doors, you don't get to say, Spirit, stay there, I'll pick you up next Sunday. He needs to be with us. We need to walk by the Spirit 24/7, 365. One thing I don't like about putting our vision engaging, because you know when I'm about done, when that slide comes up. Listen, as we learn and continue to walk in the Spirit, we will see our lives change. Our desires will transform into the things that He wants. We will start to desire more the things that Jesus would desire of us, not our 2023 Harley Davidson, Pan America, off-road motorcycle, blah, blah, blah. I'm just kind of making light of it. But our desires become His desires, right? Or our desires are His desires. We transform our desires. We will find ourselves daily living closer, drawing closer to God than we were the day before. In fact, if we finish reading Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 25, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Listen to verse 24. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Verse 26, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, or envying one another. Church, we will display the fruit that matches Jesus' life. We must desire and pursue walking in the Spirit if we expect to see results. Technology again. Guys got to hang tight with me. My notes just completely went away. We will display fruit that matches Jesus' life. We will gain these items as we walk in the Spirit. We cannot do it of ourselves. Listen, you can't manufacture joy. You can't manufacture the type of joy that having a relationship with Jesus brings. It's not possible. We must desire and pursue walking in the Spirit if we expect to see results when we are engaging our community for Jesus. Why? Because people need to see Jesus in our fruit. They need to see Jesus first, us second, not our sinfulness. Now, you could argue that your sinfulness is a way that you can bring them to Christ. I promise if you sin in front of somebody, you're going to have a really hard time convincing them that Jesus can free them of their sins if you're doing something silly. Now, again, God's grace abounds. However, I cannot justifiably live in sin and expect to go out and tell the world about Jesus and see the results I expect when my life is riddled with sin. Does that mean that I don't sin? No, I sin. It happens. Again, if it's a sin that you're struggling with, I have to submit it's a lack of, or it doesn't exist, prayer life between you and God. And I shouldn't say it doesn't, there's a chance that it doesn't, or it's lacking. So church, my question to you today, are you going to walk in the fruit of the Spirit, or are you going to walk in the desires of the flesh? When we walk in the Spirit, people will see Jesus. The adverse, if we walk in the flesh, people will see sin, evilness. Stacy, if you'd like to come up, please. Church, I just want to encourage you to bow your heads, close your eyes. I want to make sure everybody has an opportunity to respond to the message this morning. To walk in the Spirit, we must first have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Without a relationship, the rest of it doesn't matter. And what does that look like? A relationship with Jesus, it's this. It's that we must confess with our mouth that He is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised Him from the dead. So this morning, with every eye closed, head bowed, whether this is in a new way, this is in a fresh way, today is the day to make that decision to follow Jesus. Today is that day to start your journey of walking by the Spirit. So if you're here today and you don't have that relationship, you're not sure if you have that relationship, if you've made some choices and you've forgotten and you've walked away from being in the presence of Jesus, today is your day to renew. Today is your day to receive forgiveness. Today is the day to gain that ability to start walking by the Spirit. If you're here this morning, would you just raise your hand in response? Praise God. In church, as we continue on, perhaps you haven't been one to regularly read your Bible. Maybe you struggle to get into the Word. Well, there's things that I don't understand, so I'm not going to read them. The Spirit of God Himself reveals the Word to you and shows you the Word of God. It helps you understand the Word of God. Maybe you found yourself not being in prayer because we're frustrated. Something has happened. We don't like what was taking place. And I'm going to distance myself from God. Whatever the reason is, maybe you just don't know what to pray. Maybe there's something in your life that the Spirit's convicting you of, and if you actually do take it to prayer, the result is you have to deal with it. Or maybe we've just flat out chosen to ignore the Holy Spirit's leadings. Maybe we've chosen to ignore His prompts. Maybe we've chosen to ignore the warnings that He provides. We'd rather go ahead and continue on with this sin than to listen to the Holy Spirit saying, hey, you know better. This is going to be a lot of hurt if you do this. But we choose to proceed because we like the outcome in the flesh. Because our flesh desires evil. Today is the day that you make a commitment to walk in the Spirit. It starts with being willing to let the Spirit lead you. So church, today I'm asking you to commit to desiring to be like Jesus. Today is the day that you talk to God through prayer. Today is the day that we open His Word, we read His Word, we obey when the Holy Spirit gives us direction. I want you to respond how you feel necessary to respond. But there's something powerful about coming to the altar of God. When we come to the altar, it's us and God. It's a step to say, God, I need You. And we start by saying, God, forgive us of trying to do things on our own. Forgive me for not spending time in prayer. Forgive me for not reading Your Word. Forgive me for ignoring the leading of Your Holy Spirit. And we just come to Him and we say, Lord, help us walk by Your Spirit. I surrender. And that's what it's really about. Do you surrender to God in your life? So as the worship team leads us in a song, I would encourage you, the altars are open. Happy to come pray with you. Happy just to let you pray. But there's something powerful that happens when we approach the throne of God.